Ron, and he's from Vancouver, British Columbia. And the first time I ever heard him share, I was actually living in Medicine Hat, Alberta. And then I moved back to BC, and I've heard him many times again when I moved back to British Columbia. And I've always liked what he has to say. And so without further ado, right on, Ron.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ron, and I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to welcome everybody here. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hold on to your seats, because are we in for a ride? You might as well turn down the volume, because I'm quite passionate about Alcoholics Anonymous and about the 12 steps. My sobriety date is November the 3rd, 1988. So I got 32 years. And you know, that doesn't make me anything different than anybody in these rooms. It truly isn't. I started with one day, and then I got the 2 days. And I've been counting the days, and I know it's over probably 10,000 by now. But it all started with day one. So, you know, what happened for me is I'm a Vancouver longshoreman. So we have these big ships that come into port, and I drive cranes and we unload the ships. And, you know, at my earliest time I started when I just turned 14, and we used to unload these containers. And, you know, I don't know if you know what Christmas morning is like, but Christmas morning for me was like working on the docks, and I was like 14 years old and opening up a container and it's filled with booze. Like, oh my goodness. Like, and I can remember just the little bottles they used to serve on the airplanes. Well, we used to have thousands and thousands of them. I can remember actually leaving some of the docks and my jacket would sound like a Christmas tree. But, you know, we all have these stories. And, you know, I love the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, you know, to really cut through the chase, we all have that story. And I have thousands of them. But, you know, it got me into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, dying as the dying can get. Like, this is life and death, and it is truly life and death every single day. And, you know, even with what's going on today, it's probably more important that we're sober today than it was back then. Because, you know what, with COVID and with everything that's going on with the world and the isolation, it's probably making it a lot worse. But, you know, I was down and out, and, you know, I didn't know what to do. I honestly didn't know what to do. I ended up going to a detox, and they mentioned a detox to me, and I asked this guy for help. He was for my union, because I belonged to the Longshoremen's Union. And I talked to this guy. He was like the EAP rep. And all I knew through my all these years of working as a longshoreman is who this EAP rep was, because I wanted to stay away from him, because he's the one who would help you if you ever got into any trouble. So I really wanted to stay away from this guy. But finally the day came where I needed some help. And you know what? I phoned him and he said he would help me. And I said, oh, that's good. I need some help. So he said, oh, Ron, if you turn down your volume, it'll be a lot more clear. Okay, I'm gonna turn down my volume. So what happened is I asked for help, and this guy got me some help. And he said, I'm gonna pick you up, and I'm gonna take you to this place called Detox. I think you probably have them in Arizona. Hope you do. I know you have treatment centers. Anyways, so he said he's taking me to this detox facility. And on the way going to detox, I asked him, like, oh, is there swimming pools? And is there tennis courts? And he said, no. And he said, no. And I'm like, where the heck am I going? Well, I hated detox. Let's just get this clear. The only thing I liked about detox was you could smoke there. That was pretty much it, you know. So I saw people come back from detox and they were all happy. Like, you know, people were leaving and coming back. And I said, like, where did you guys go? They said, like, to an AA meeting. I said, well, that's weird. So what happened was my sponsor at the time was this EAP worker. He actually had special permission to come into the detox and take me out and take me to an AA meeting. Just him and I. Well, I went to my first AA meeting when I was sitting in detox. And I can remember going to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was in this back of this room, down the stairs in the back. And there was people talking about hope and the 12 steps. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. That somebody could actually stay sober and live sober and actually be happy. I didn't know that. So what happened was, is I got sober with the help from my sponsor. So what happened for me was, is I got here and I spent a little bit of time in AA. It must have been about a month. And I was really getting well. And I saw what everybody else was doing and they were happy. And what I saw them doing was the 12 steps. And I'm like, this is what I need to do. This is what I need in my life is these 12 steps. So I kind of went through them really fast. I read the big book really, really quickly. And I started sponsoring people and I had 2 months sober. And man, was I ever a terrible sponsor. Like truly, I was a terrible sponsor. And you know what? Nothing will push you faster into the 12 steps and helping somebody with the 12 steps. So, you know, people were asking me like, oh, what step one? I go, well, just read the pages from here to here. And, you know, that will do for now, right? I didn't have a clue, but it got me into the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. I'm going to take you through all 12 steps. And I'm going to take you through all 12 steps very, very quickly. See, I didn't know what the problem was. And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have bet you anything in the world that the problem was the alcohol. And it was the alcohol. But little did I know, it's only a symptom of the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic center in his mind rather than his body. So the main problem on page 23 tells me it centers in his mind rather than in his body. So the main problem is my thinking. And I didn't realize that. So I had a thinking problem and the alcohol was only a symptom of the problem. So the main problem of the alcoholic center is his mind. Well, Dr. Silkworth actually taught us something before I'm even talking about the mind being the problem. As Dr. Silkworth taught us that about this irritable, restless discontent. It's actually a warning before I even think about alcohol, is I get a warning. And that warning is that irritable, restless discontent. I'm unhappy. I didn't realize that. He even actually told us is that we couldn't even differentiate the difference between the truth and the false. Like for years, I tried to find out what are they talking about? And when you get involved in the 12 steps and read and reread this big book like 1,000 times, it becomes very crystal clear what the truth and the false is. The false has always been in my head. And the truth has always been in my heart. And that's where we're going with this. So I had this irritable, restless discontent. I'm irritable, restless discontent. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to drink. And you know what? 97% of people live in the first step. They live in that irritable, restless discontent. And if you're unhappy, you're living in the spiritual malady. If you're unhappy, you're living in step one. And step one isn't good news. Step one is we're an alcoholic and we're suffering from an illness that only a spiritual solution could fix, which they tell me that in step two. So if the main problem of the alcoholic centered is mind, so your main problem's your thinking, it's my thinking. When I help people through these steps, I help people through them like in 12 hours. So if you're saying to yourself, well, that's just stupid, you know, and how can anybody go through the 12 steps in 12 hours? I can tell you it's very, very crystal clear. And you know what? I did the steps from your treatment center to my treatment center. And I actually work with treatment centers today because I'm actually the EAP rep who, the guy who was my sponsor, now I'm actually doing his job. So I actually help about 10,000 longshoremen today. But that has nothing to do with what my problem was. And my problem was my thinking. And the main problem of the alcoholic center is the mind rather than his body. I'm going to tell you where else I'm going with this. On page 11, Bill Wilson was sitting down with Ebby. And I don't know if you guys know who Ebby is. Ebby was Bill Wilson's sponsor. And as they sat down that day at that table, they were sitting down at that table, and Bill Wilson was drinking, and he pours the glass. He moved the glass over to the table to Ebby, and Ebby says, no, I'm not drinking anymore. I got a couple of months sober. Bill Wilson said this, that there's something that happened in the human heart that did the impossible. This is about our heart. This is about God. They wrote the big book for two reasons. One is to precisely show us how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. The other reason why they wrote the book is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself. But they actually tell us where that power is. And whenever you hear power in the big book, it's God. That's very crystal clear. So I needed to know powerless, what kind of powerless really meant. Powerless means not listening to God. And I didn't listen to God. Right? And my life became unmanageable. That's that irritable, restless discontent. So if the main problem is my thinking, I tell people when we start the steps, okay, about these steps, is if the main problem of the alcoholic center is mine, so if your thinking is the main problem, now you know what the problem is. So why don't we go from the problem and let's go to the solution. And the step two is the solution. And it talks about, in page 25, it talks about our Creator has entered into our hearts that lives in a place which is indeed miraculous. That's fantastic news to know that God has always been within me, but I was always fighting this God because of my ego and because of God. So I would be listening to my head, which is 97% wrong. And you know what? If I listen to my heart, it always has always told me the truth. So it talks about deep down in every man, woman, or child as a fundamental idea of God. It talks about at the back of the big book, it says, our members have tapped to unexpected inner resource, which they presently use as a power greater than themselves. Thank God for God. And that's where it brings me to actually step two. Problems are thinking, solution is God. And they tell us, and you know what? You can believe anything you want to believe. I'm not here to question who God is. I'm here to tell you what the big book says. And if it comes down to listening to Right on Ron or the big book, I have to go with the big book. And that's kind of what I did. I was getting into all the steps, and I really loved Joe and Charlie. But when it came to step four, I had to go with what the big book said. So I always have to go with what the big book says. Not what somebody says, but what the big book says. So, and that's what I did. So the solution's God. It's in my heart. And you know what? And it's indeed miraculous. So God's within me. And I didn't know that. So knowing that today, I can help people through the steps very quickly. Because we get you out of your mind. We get you into your heart. That's where I want you. You know, they even talk about, you know, in the big book, can you even actually help somebody today who's actually drinking? The answer is no. I can't actually help anybody if they're drinking. Right here, right now, I can't help you. But I know when I can help you, and that's the next day. I've had many people on top of the bridge ready to jump, and I tell them, like, don't do that. Or they're ready to kill themselves, or they're really, this is life and death stuff. I've dealt with a lot of situations. And I'm like, you know what? That might not be a really good idea right now. Why don't we start tomorrow when you wake up? Everybody wakes up sober. That's when I want you. I want to help you. I want to help you through this. And I will help guide you and walk with you through this. And get you back into your heart. And get you out of your head and into your heart. I know how you all made it here tonight. You didn't come here because your mind told you to come here. You came here because your heart said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to an AA meeting. I'm gonna have some fun. And you listen to God and you listen to your heart. Right? So that's how I know. So, you know, so having the solution, fantastic. And then it actually brings me to step three. And step three is a fantastic step. Step three gives me two things. Step three gives me the solution, which step two gives me, but step three also gives me the solution, but I found out later what step three was really, really more important about. And I'm going to tell you what, how much more important it is. Just because I got God within me, and I have God within me, and I'm happy, if you're happy, you got God within you, you're still blocked in a way from something, and that's faith. I need to have God, and I need to have faith in order to do the rest of this work. You know, and they even prove it to us after step three. They actually prove to us, I forgot my train of thought here, but step three is vital. Oh, I know what I was getting at, is it talks about us being reborn. A lot of people I'll hear from the fellowship, they'll talk about, oh, I found God in the rest of the steps. Well, you got to find God. And you got to find God before step three and on step three and two and three, because it talks about we are reborn and it talks about being happy. I'm reborn at this time because now you're in your heart. Now you've actually had a psychic change. And they talk about that, a psychic change or a spiritual experience. And they talk about that in the first three steps. And I need to have that. And I can tell if you've done steps one, two, and three, because if you're in steps two and three, you're on fire with love. You're on fire with Alcoholics Anonymous. And you're living in your heart and you're happy. I talk to sponsees all the time and they're happy. They're just like happy. I'm like, oh, you must be in steps two and three. So I'm going to tell you something. Just because I do steps two and three, is that going to keep me sober? And the answer is no. And I'm going to tell you why I can't stay sober with God in my heart and faith alone. Because faith without works is dead. And what kind of works are they talking about? They're talking about steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're talking about the rest of the steps. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because I have things that happen to me every single day, like somebody cuts in front of me and I might swear at them. Something doesn't go right, I'm not going to feel good about it. A girl rejects me, I'm going to go, oh no. Do you get me? I have things that actually pull me away from my heart and throw me back into my head. And I'm going to tell you what those are. Those are called our resentments. They're called our defects of character. And I need to deal with this. So when I did steps four, I need to deal with these resentments. And they talk about resentments is the number one offender that destroys more alcoholics than anything else. Does anybody know? Don't say anything. Oh, I'm glad you're muted. Does anybody know what number two is? Because resentment is number one. I'm going to tell you what number two is, because I know the book and I read the book. And it looks like this, Nick, he's really interested in this. You probably read the book too. So anyways, I'm going to tell you what number two is it's self-pity. And Bill Wilson talked about two things that nearly sent him back out drinking. It was resentment and it was self-pity. Self-pity is poison for alcoholics. Resentment is, I kind of want to kill you. Self-pity is, I kind of want to kill myself. So when I see people on the bridge ready to jump and they can't live with life any longer, they're in self-pity. And it talks about God can only fix that. So I need to do these steps and I need to do them and I need to work them and I need to live them. So I'm a kind of guy who's only done the steps once, but I've taken thousands through this work. So I'm continuing to do these and live these steps every single day. I can tell you every step, I can tell you. So I deal with the resentments. And anybody who has resentments, I don't know if anybody has resentments. I'm not even going to ask you, because if you have any resentments, we know how to deal with them today. And I'm going to tell you the biggest downer for anybody who has a resentment right now. I'm going to tell you that a resentment, now hear me out clear, a resentment has nothing to do with that person, place, or thing. Nothing, nothing. And you're probably saying to yourself, what does this jerk, what is he talking about? And I'm going to explain it to you. It's a resentment has nothing to do with that person, place, or thing. It's how I respond to it. It's how I respond to you. Do you get me? You hurt me, and I respond, very badly, and I'm angry, and I'm hurt, and I got these feelings, and do you know, and I got these defects that are all going to come out, and that's my defects of character, which I'm going to get to that. So resentments have nothing to do with the people, places, or things. What else I've learned was in step four is you can't blame anybody. If you do this work like it's laid out, you can't blame anybody. You can't even blame yourself. So, good luck with doing a step four, everybody. So I remember doing my first step four and it was horrible. I had 600 resentments. Today, when I help people through the steps, I give them 15 and I tell them, like, make it really good resentments. And I only deal with 15 because I teach you through the book is it has nothing to do with them. It's just how I respond to them. So it doesn't matter if it's Fred, George, mom, dad, sister, that horrible person has nothing to do with them. It's how I've always responded to it. And that's what we're trying to change here. So, okay, so that's enough about resentment. So then I got these fears. And if you read step 68 about these fears, and they talk about there's two kind of fears. There's fears of like Nick wanting to beat me up. I don't want Nick to beat me up. Okay, sorry, Nick. I'm throwing you underneath the bus. So, but you seem like a good guy. So anyways, I would have Nick down under my resentment. Like, I'm afraid of Nick. He's going to beat me up. And I'm afraid. But there's another fear they talk about in page 68. And they talk about a fear that have no resentments in connection with them. Right? No resentment. So I'm going to give you a few of them. It could be fear of heights. It could be a fear of like being broke. And it's going to teach you what you need to do, like have the fear, the why, and then sort of like the solution. All from the big book. And the solution to fear, here's the solution to fear. And I give it in my, when I help people through the steps. Okay, he's loud and passionate. That's Ron. Okay. So anyways, I'm going to tell you about fear. It talks about fear on page 68, and it talks about how to remove a fear. And it talks about we direct our attention to what he would have us be. Okay, I'm afraid to swim. God, can you help me? Because I'm afraid to swim. So I direct my attention to what he would have me be. You know what God just told me? Take swimming lessons. I cannot remove a fear without an action. So I need God's help, but I need an action. So how about faith with action works? So that's the second part. Then I have the sex part, and we have to deal with all the sex part. And the sex part in the big book isn't as bad as you think it is. But I think the most important part when it comes to the sex part is what should have I done instead? How can I keep treating people? I remember I was going out when I was first new because I was doing it before I came to AA. Then I came to AA and I was going out with a couple of girls at the same time, which is horrible. It's horrible. I suggest nobody do it because it almost got me to go back out drinking. I opened up the big book and I said, God, help me here. Like, what am I doing? And in the big book, it says this. I'm just trying to paraphrase. Let's see if I can remember. But it says something like this. If I'm sorry for what I have done, and if I want God to take me to better things, I believe that you will be forgiven. But if you're not sorry, and if your conduct continues to harm others, we will quite surely drink. We're not theorizing. These are great facts of our experience. So that told me is I needed to do this work, and what should have I done instead? So I get myself, with the relationships. What should have I done instead? So now I'm looking at my part and how I should actually treat women and relationships with love, respect, communication, all of that amazing stuff teaches me that. So the last part is our step eight is done in our step four, because it says in step eight, it says made a list of all people who were at harm and became willing to make amends to them all. Well, made a list is we already have the list of harms, and that helps us walk to be a free person. That's the end part of the step four. So then we do a step five, and then after a step five, I actually sit down, it talks about we take an hour, and I get them to do a little something. You can talk to me about it later or go to my site, whatever. And what I do is I get them to, after we have done and talked about all the work, I get them to, so they clearly know the defects of character that are blocking them from God. And they know that by the time they finish step five. They know every single defect. They even have it in order. Oh, I'm angry. I judge people. I'm mean. You got it in order. So that brings us to step six. So step six is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. See, step six, you should already know by the time you get to step six. Step six is knowing and thinking about a defect. Let me give you an example. That guy cuts me off. My head goes right away. Oh, he's a jerk. I'm going to swear at him or I'm going to honk the horn. That's a defect of character. Me swearing at somebody, me being mean to somebody, me judging somebody, that's a defect of character. Now we know exactly in order which ones are blocking us from God. So step six is we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character, is thinking and knowing what a defect is. Step seven is I don't want to do this any longer. I do not want to be a mean person. And with God's help and a new action, I'm going to be able to do that. But how can you fix something if you don't even know? Some people just get to step seven and go, okay, God, have all of me, good and bad, and so be it. Not me. I'm like, hey, I was very, very hateful. I want to be very, very loving today. And how am I going to be loving? Is I'm going to talk to people with love. I'm going to talk to people with respect. That step seven is the actions of our defects of character. So why do we have defects of character? Because God wants us on the other side of it. God wants us closer to God and doing God's work. It tells us that. So then step seven is a whole new way to live life. I'm living steps two. I'm living in the solution. I'm living in the solution in faith. And three, now I get to step seven. I want to live in step seven and only step seven. I don't care about step six. I don't care about the meanness and all that other stuff. I care about what God's will is for me and the actions I'm going to do. Then it brings me to step eight. Now I got this list and I just add to it. Then I get to step nine. Here's a good thing about step nine is if you are not on your step nine, you've done it wrong. It talks about all people we have harmed. And I've harmed me more than I've harmed anybody in this world. I've harmed me the most. Okay, I'm going to talk for another 5 minutes, Tammy. So I just want to get through the steps. So I have hurt me so much. You know what? I prayed and I prayed for forgiveness. How can you forgive yourself? How can I forgive myself? How can I forgive others? Like, how do you do this? Tell me, somebody, how do you forgive? And I'm going to tell you how you forgive. And there's only one way you can do it. And that's to love yourself. It has nothing to do with that person and those hateful crimes and those hateful situations that you ever put yourself in or you didn't put yourself in or it happened to you. I need forgiveness. And the only way we're going to do that is to love ourselves. And I'm the most important person in this world. I am the most important person. I need to love me, period. And then when you love you, you know what? I could go to anybody after that and say, hey, you know what? Nick, I was wrong. I shouldn't have been saying that stuff to you. Big Book Bobby, I was wrong. You know, I shouldn't have said that. Nobody's perfect in this world, but you need to love you first. So with that, you know, that's our step nine. And you love you, then you can go to others and make amends to others. And it's quite simple and easy. Step 10 is continue to take personal inventory all through the day. Some people say it's just at night. It's not. It's all through the day. Step 11, we have on the awakening and when I retire at night. And I believe when I retire at night is more important than on the awakening, because on the awakening, it's paused when agitated, some really good stuff. But you know what? When I retire at night, there's actually 9 questions there that you have to ask yourself. And you're actually going to go through the steps again. You're actually going to go through the steps. Like, have I hurt somebody? Or do I owe somebody an amends? Or do I need to fix something? I need to answer those 9 questions in step 11. And step 12, I spent years and hours and years of reading the big book with people, and it was a bunch of waste of time. They don't have a clue. They still didn't have a clue. And I spent hours and days and years reading the big book with people, and it wasn't until I kind of explained it to them where they connected. Like, so it's kind of like, I'd rather you do the steps before you even read the big book, because if you do the steps, but then you'll understand what the big book is really all about. And that's kind of how I see it. And you know what? And why I say it was a waste of time, because as I'm reading the big book and I'm reading a page or two, people were jumping off of bridges. People were dying. And it's not my fault. But you know what? It just took a long time. So that's why I condensed this all down. You might have heard of like an 8-day boot camp. Well, you know what? I got it down to 12 steps in 12 hours. And I tell people when I take people through the steps is I'm just putting the pieces together for you. I've done all the work. I'm just here to help you understand what this really, really means, because I didn't have a clue. So thank God for the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you want to know where the 12 steps are, you might say to yourself, it's the first 164 pages, right? Wrong. No, it's not. I want you to hear Nick. No, it's not the first 164 pages. Because the first 164 pages is, they haven't changed anything. They haven't changed it in all from the big book. 1, 2, 3, 4. They haven't changed the first 164 pages. But the 12 steps end at page 103. Step 12 ends at 103. You know what past 103 is? Like, to the wives. Some guys don't ever have a wife. Do you get me? So, you know, as much as I like it, and to the employer, I know many people, lazy alcoholics, that have never had a job in their life, even being sober. So the 12-step ends at 103. So I focus more on the first 103 pages. Well, you know, that's my little talk about the 12 steps and, you know, how much gratitude I got. I wake up with gratitude. I wake up before I even wake up with gratitude. And then I have gratitude when I start my day. I have gratitude as I walk through the day. And you know what? I got stuff going on right now. I got stuff like, it would make her cry in some ways. Do you get me? My dad, he's in the hospital. Now, I can tell you all kinds of stuff. But I am so grateful. I have so much gratitude for my sponsor, for the sponsors before him, for my sponsees, you know, Big Book Bobby and Compassionate Kim and Johnny Love. Like, you know, my life is surrounded by love today. I don't have any room for drama. I have none. No room, none. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to help you. The only way I'm not going to help you is because you're mean. And if you're mean, I'm going to give you some time out, because I don't care for mean people today. But I used to be like that. I'm the loser. I'm the biggest loser you would ever want to meet back then. And a winner is a loser who keeps on trying. And I just kept on trying. And today I'm a winner. You know what? And so is everybody in these rooms. So with that, you know, I love each and every one of you. And just before I end, I'm going to tell you one story. And then I'm going to end it. So one of my other sponsors, I've had 3. So the one in the middle, his name was Milton. And he was from California. And I didn't even know who this guy was, but he was black and he talked loud. He was a fantastic guy. So he came into the room. They asked him to share, and he goes, "Hi." He's not around any longer. But he says, "Hi, Milton Merle, and you have to love me." And I'm like, "I have to love you?" This is what he said at the podium. I'm like, my head said right away, "No, I don't love him. I don't like him. I don't." And he says, "I'm going to tell you why you have to love me. Why you have to love me is if you don't love me, you might not like me. And if you don't like me, it might be a resentment. And if you have a resentment towards me, it's the number one offender that sends more alcoholics than anybody else. You have to love me." And I'm like, I love this guy. And you know, through all this work, I've learned that we're all children of God. So you know what? I have to love everybody in this world. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. I am going to love you. I might not like have to like what you say and do, but I have to love you. And when I love you, I have the peace that I need for myself in my life daily. So yes, I love each and every one of you. Thanks for my sobriety.